Hello and welcome to the RBC Ross Trevor Campus Sermon Podcast. Our mission here is loving God, loving people, and seeing lives change. At RBC, our heart is to build a Jesus-centered community, to see lives changed in multiple languages and locations. We hope you enjoyed this message from one of our weekend services. To find out more about us, please visit our website, rbc.org.au.
Well, we spent Friday at the cross. We heard that we are designed to be perfect, designed to be bearers of the image of God Himself. But we also acknowledged that that image has been distorted by our incessant desire to put ourselves at the center of everything, and hence move God aside. And then we were reminded that wonderfully, unimaginably, we've been restored. Not perfect, but nonetheless restored. And so we are able once again to reflect the beauty, the image, the character, the nature of God Himself. And we finished with the acknowledgement that the only rightful response is full, extravagant devotion by giving ourselves to His kingship. Today, though, is Sunday. Today, the sorrow and the pain and the darkness of Friday are gone and swept away. Today is Resurrection Day. Today, the grave is empty. Today begins a whole new chapter in the story and history of humanity. What was once impossible is made possible. We can have a personal, engaging, intimate relationship with the one who is the God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. This is the significance of the cross and the resurrection. In the cross, our shattered and broken lives are dealt with. They are made into something beautiful. The Son of God, the Lord of life and death, in resurrection, Jesus demonstrated His victory. His victory over death, His power to restore and redeem. Easter is essentially a grace event. In this event, we see displayed in the powerful, practical way the unmerited favor of God. It's a physical expression of that verse we all know so well, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." But more than that, as if there could be more, we also see the grace of God which enables us, which empowers us to live out our lives for Him. God tells us that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead enables us and empowers us today. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, says, "His incomparably great power for us who believe is the same mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." Just let that sink in for a moment. Can you imagine it? That resurrection power is here, now, today, to bring transformation to human lives. The power of God which defeated death now, in an ongoing way, shapes our lives. The whole Christian life, living in all that God wants and has for us, is an ongoing result of this grace event we call Easter. So this morning, we're just going to look at three things, three ways that Easter impacts and shapes us in the daily living of our lives. It's very easy to view Easter merely as a remembrance time. We remember the amazing event that changed human history. But let us be powerfully reminded that the Easter event shapes and empowers us now, today. The broken mirror of our lives, with its distorted imaging, becomes the beautiful mosaic of mercy. The three areas I've called Easter reflections because they are things that become evident in our lives that are then reflected to those around us. They are reflections of the event, they are qualities of life that we inherit. And each one of them can be found in the early encounters with the risen Christ. The three reflections that make our lives different are peace, joy, and hope. So let's read a little bit of one of these encounters. Jesus has risen from the dead. The tomb is empty, as we have heard already. And now he meets with a couple of his disciples who are walking on the road from Jerusalem to the little town of Emmaus. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and began to give to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their presence. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and they were saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen. He's even appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking together about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Well then, do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the generations, beginning in Jerusalem." May God bless his word to us this morning. Well, the first reflection is peace. Jesus knew his followers were confused and frightened. They'd been through the emotional roller coaster of losing their good friend, their teacher, their mentor, and their guide. And so he stands before them and he says, "Peace be with you." This is not just a polite greeting. In this context, it's the first application of Easter. The Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. And it means fullness, well-being, wholeness. The Hebrew word is not just an absence of conflict. It's an inner sense of being and serenity, independent of our experience and independent of the context we're living in and what's going on in the world around us. In Esther's poem, the description was, "I feel like a shattered beer glass scattered on the floor as diners pass. In a deserted bar, sharp and chaotic, spilt and serrated, displaced and uneven." It is to this shattered image of who we are created to be that Jesus says, "Peace be with you." In John's account of Jesus' life, Jesus himself says these words. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is true shalom. We live in a world that hungers and longs for peace, for shalom, a world that strives for it, but so unsuccessfully. One of the greatest human needs is peace. Easter leaves us with and goes on giving to us the peace of God, peace with God, peace with self, peace with others, and peace with the world in which we live. Peace. Second Easter reflection is joy. Verse 41 says, "They still did not believe because of joy and amazement." Joy and amazement. We've sought to capture some of that this morning in the tempo of the songs and the enthusiasm of our team. Some of us do it better than others. The disciples were so taken by the resurrection that they thought it was too good to be true. And there will be people in the room and people online who equally think this kind of thing. They were surprised by joy. They'd been overcome by grief, now they're overwhelmed by joy. But joy is a quality, it's not an emotion. Throughout God's word, throughout the scriptures, joy is a mark of God's people, both individually and corporately. Sadly, that's an image that's been distorted too, isn't it? Sometimes, as someone once said, Christians behave more like they've been baptized in lemon juice than have the gift of joy. And certainly, churches collectively have been known as wowsers, with no evidence of joy. The quality of joy shapes our lives. We should be the ones who are so full of life. We should be the party animals of the world as we live out this gift of joy. It finds its grounding in the very character of God himself. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God who comes and dwells within us. And therefore, it is dynamic and not static. Joy is one of the fruit, as I say, we grow in it and we exercise it Have you ever thought of that? We grow in joy and we exercise joy because they are the fruit of God himself in our lives. Now, the great Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once commented on holy joy. Listen to these words. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labors. Holy joy will beautify you and give you influence over the lives of others. Amazing words from 1895. We wrongly equate joy with escaping the cares and the concerns of the world. But instead, joy is a quality that actually carries us and helps us overcome our concerns. It's not an absence of sorrow. It's God's gift to us in the midst of sorrow. Jesus said, I have told you this, speaking to his disciples, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The quality of joy grows in us as we grow in our knowledge and appreciation of God and his love for us. As the Easter event so powerfully declares the love of God, so it brings the enduring quality of joy, a joy that God is himself at work making complete in us. Peace and joy. And the third one we'll look at today is hope. Jesus said to the disciples in the room, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's the old Jewish scriptures. Here Jesus spells out how all of his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his teaching, his actions, his relationships, everything was in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies written down centuries before he arrived. Godly hope is not like the hope of this world, which is mostly something wished for, longed for, often expressed poetically as faint, trembling, or desperate. But the hope God speaks of is a certainty. Something that lies ahead in fulfillment, yes, yet nonetheless something founded in the total faithfulness and trustworthiness of who God is. And the Easter event once again guarantees to us the truth of God's plans and purposes. Look at the whole story, not just the event. The resurrection resounds with the proclamation that God keeps his word, even if it seems unbelievable to you. The Easter event brings to the followers of Jesus an unshakable, reasoned, and assured hope. And that hope is available to everyone. It's available to you and you and you and you and you and you. You see, Christian hope is essentially faith in God who raised Jesus from the dead. And it is hope that is intrinsically linked to peace and joy that I've already mentioned. When Paul was writing to the early church in Rome, he wrote this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You see, in this verse, there is this wonderful picture of the empowering nature of God's grace. Not only are we given a relationship with God, not only are we recreated and restored and re-imaged and have an eternal standing with him, but here and now we are blessed with the characters, the reflections, the gifts of peace, joy, and hope. And God's grace goes on enabling us every day to live in these. These qualities are given and sustained by the grace of God through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Surely these Easter qualities meet the very core needs and desires of every man, woman, and child. Even if you are struggling with the Christian framework, there would be something in you that resonates with the desire for these things to be a part of your life and a part of our world. And they are the promise of the Easter event. So don't dismiss it. Check it out. At least dip in and see whether God might actually be true to his word. In a world racked with violence, suffering, and restlessness, in times of uncertainty and conflict, what a gift God brings. Peace, joy, and hope. But to those of us who are followers of Jesus, we need to be reminded they're not just given for our benefit. We reflect these very gifts of God to the world in which we live. They are part of how we are restored to reflect the Saviour's glory. We may not be perfect. God only knows I'm not. Well, not only God. I've got family with me today, they know. But we are restored to reflect. The power of Easter is not just in the changes of our lives, but it is the influence that then comes over others. Peace is given as a witness to the truth that God is in control, no matter what is going on in the world. Joy is given as an outward sign of the presence of God in us. So we'd better live in joy. And hope is given. Hope is given as a declaration that God is real and God is faithful. God has a plan. He has a plan that we would become a living part of what he is doing in this world in redeeming and restoring all things. Christianity is not a feel-good, warm, fuzzy philosophy of life. Christianity is not about you or me finding self-fulfillment. Christianity is not about what you can get. Christianity is essentially about God and his purposes. Now, when we come into relationship with God, yes, guess what? We experience fulfillment. We have this sense of inner peace. We are recipients of joy and we live a life of hope. But that's not their purpose. Their purpose is, and their empowering is, that we would be a part of continuing to reflect the great news of the Easter event. A signpost of freedom, a banner of love, an artwork shining his life-giving shalom. So I wonder, how will you leave Easter this year? Will you just dismiss it as a religious festival? Our news reports seem to. Or will you recognize it as an event that demonstrates the power of God to bring you individually, into relationship with him? Will you walk away thinking Easter is simply an event in history and sort of history pivots around it because of our dating system? Or will you walk away with a sense of the power of God to be at work in your life. Through the Easter event, we know and we experience renewed peace, joy, and hope, which can and will and should affect our entire lives, our whole persona, how we talk, how we appear, how our outlook is, how our relationships are, our interactions, our reactions, our priorities. If God shapes them, they will be a reflection of this event. And when people notice that perhaps there is something different about us, then we might be able to answer. Easter happened. That is what has happened. Let's pray. Father, this morning we do stand in wonder. We stand in wonder to some degree at what is an event that, humanly speaking, is unbelievable, inconceivable, unimaginable. And yet, history shows us, all the evidence points towards the fact that it is true. And so this morning, whether here in this room or online, I pray for those who are yet to make this amazing discovery. Those who, Lord, yet are to actually check you out meaningfully and receive your grace. I pray that you would prompt them. You'd take them on a journey of adventure, discovering more of you. And may you even now gift them with signs of your peace, your joy, and your hope, that that might reassure them of your presence with them. And Father, for all of us, may these characteristics increasingly shape us and our lives. Lord, send us from this Easter that we would be good reflections of the image, of your image, that we were created to bear. And may all this be for your glory.
Thanks for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed this podcast. If this message has impacted you in some way, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us through The Hub online at thehub.rbc.org.au or through our social media links in the show notes. See you next time.